Johnson steals, gives it to Peterson, he scores! A shorthanded goal by the Bruins. Barry Peterson finished off a perfect pass on the steal by Middleton. Waited and lifted, and Peterson makes it 2-1 Boston.
So how did you and Nifty get put together?
Well, it happened when I first got here in the early 80s. We started practicing together and things clicked. I played 9 games my first year, got sent back to junior. Then when I came back, we were together 81 for a number of years. And I'll tell you, as a former teammate and line mate, and more importantly, as a friend and an alumni, because there's going to be a lot of alumni in the building, guys could not be happier for Mr. Middleton, because this is long overdue. And I'll give President Cam Neely and GM Don Sweeney a lot of credit for making this happen. It should have happened a long time ago. It didn't, but we're going to put the 11th Bruin up there, and I'll tell you, it is well-deserved.
Did it work right from the get-go when you and Nifty were playing together?
Yeah, it did. Something, I don't know if you can describe it, you just kind of had a sense when you were on the ice, you had a sense. I kind of felt I knew where he was. He kind of felt he knew where I was. We didn't have to look for each other. We were able to do it. Also, I think we both at the time cared a lot about kind of the little things away from the scoring aspect of wanting to play against the other team's top line all the time. So that meant if we were playing against them, that meant we were getting a lot of ice time, which was great. So we took a lot of pride in our defensive side for face-offs, penalty killing, the little things. And I would have to argue that as much as people talk about his offense and his 800-plus points as a Bruin, one of the most complete players that I've ever played in the National Hockey League.
I want to dive into some of those details because I heard Rick say the other day that Barry was able to put me in a position to succeed. He put me in spots where I could get the puck and I had my head up. What were those spots? What were those details that you tried to put him in a position so he could score as many points as he did?
Well, I think, first of all, you try and get the puck to him as quick as you possibly could, especially if you were just coming out of your zone and you had plenty of room, because once you gave him the puck, I was blessed with playing with probably in my era the two best one-on-one players, I think, in the league at the time. Ricky was one, and Mario Lemieux was the other. When Mario was healthy and when Ricky had the puck, the look on the defenseman's face, which was pure fear, because they didn't feel comfortable on a one-on-one situation. Now, of course, the game's changed and the mobility and the rules and so forth. But back then, you just wanted to give him the puck as soon as you could. And part of the only difficult part of playing with him was that when you gave him the puck, you could not sit back and watch. Even though you knew something was going to happen, and usually exciting, you had to play your game to kind of maybe try and create some gaps for him and some spaces. And then the other side of it was when you were shorthanded, a lot like Brad Marchand and Patrice right now, when they get the puck and they're shorthanded, they're trying to score. They're going. And Ricky was the same way. If he got the puck, don't just think he was icing it, because he was going to go and try and make some things happen.
What made him such a smooth player with the puck and so dangerous off the rush?
Instinct. He was the guy that, you know, we'd go to the bench after a play and I'd say, sorry, I should have got that to you and I didn't do that right. I'll get it to you the next time. He'd look at me and go, what are you talking about? And he was just that type of guy where he'd go out there and instinctually he'd go where the opening was. And I think another side of it that he doesn't get enough credit for, you know, when you say Lady Bing, there's a connotation of a gentlemanly, soft type of player. And soft, I don't mean that negatively. But you don't score as many goals, but 540 goal seasons in a row, without going to the dirty areas and playing tough and playing the minutes that he played in crucial times of regular season and playoff games without being intense and without being tough internally. And I don't think he gets enough credit for that.
Peterson. Courtnall score, Middleton. Peterson and Courtnall set up Middleton for a power play goal to make it 1-0, the 400th career goal for Rick Middleton.
Great players also bring the best out of the players that are around him. What did he bring out of you? What did he bring out of others?
I think with him, it was a quiet confidence that this is what we're going to do tonight. We're playing against one of the Trottier's line or whatever it may have been in those days, or Ronnie Francis or the old Adams Division rivalries that we had. There was so much hatred. He would bring that to you. He would like when he came up with Terry O'Reilly and Cash and Milbury and Jonathan, those types of guys, you didn't take practices off. You had to try and work. You know, he'd do that with the work ethic. But it was just mostly being consistent and be ready, because you're going to be called upon. And he would basically look at me saying, I want to play a lot tonight, so let's get going.
So I talked with Peter McNabb the other day when the Bruins were in Denver, and he said, I contend that Ricky would be in the Hall of Fame if he wasn't my roommate. How much fun was he on and off the ice?
Oh, he's tremendous. I learned a lot in the interview I did with him last week about some of the New York stories, and we were kind of joking. And to Peter's point, who was one of the great characters and great guys that have ever come through Boston, I'm not so sure how it would have worked out for those guys or us in our area with social media. I really don't know. It's a little different time, obviously. And Ricky was a free spirit, and when he came in here, I think that's one of the things that Grapes kind of said, hey, listen, here's some responsibilities. I want to teach you some things away from the puck. I want to teach you how to be here every game. And I think it really helped him. And obviously, that's why Ricky's sweater is going up tonight.
What was it like for him? I know you weren't there right off the get-go when he came from the Rangers to the Bruins, but it had to be a big transition for him because he was coming to a team that had won a couple of Stanley Cups in 1970-72. The Rangers were a team in transition. He comes here, and it may have taken maybe a year or two, but to try and get himself established here in Boston.
Yeah, it was tough. You know, we were laughing when I was doing some work getting ready for the interview. Looking back on it, I did notice that when his last year in New York before he was traded, he was minus 39. So obviously the Rangers were in transition, and of course I was teasing a little bit about it. But when he came here, he had, as you pointed out, he had an established hockey club with a lot of veterans. Schmatzy on the right side, Terry O'Reilly on the right side. It's not like there was a lot of room. So he played on his left wing, which, you know, in the long haul, extended his career. He could play either left side or the right side very effectively. He played there in Canada Cup on the left side. I remember that. So coming here, again, I think he was not only taught by Grapes what it took to be a National Hockey League player for a long time and extended his career, but also I think being around the O'Reillys, the McNabs, the Milberries, you know, the Parks, the guys that showed you what it took on a nightly basis to play in the league was very helpful to him.
I know Cam had mentioned when he made the announcement that Middleton's number 16 was going to be hanging from the rafters, that he in many ways epitomizes the essence of what it means to be a Bruin. When you think about Ricky and what the Bruins are all about, how are they synonymous?
Well, to me, with him, first of all, it was consistency, integrity. I don't think it's a fluke that he is running the alumni right now. I think he's obviously very well known and appreciated in town for what he does off the ice, his access to the fans. The fans have always loved him. He grew up in that era where you didn't have a helmet. You know, everybody knew him around town. He was also, in those old TV 38 days, I can remember walking around town, similar to what you'd see now, say, with Pastrnak or Marchie. It would be a situation where they'd be talking about his goal, like, for 2 or 3 weeks. Did you see the move he made? Oh, my goodness. And people were just so excited all around town. But I just really think that he's a real gentleman. I'll tell you, there are a lot of happy, again, for me, line mate and friend, but a lot of old teammates who thought all along this should have happened a lot earlier. There's a lot of alumni who are so excited for him, for what he stands for and what type of guy he is. And I know that when it happened to other guys, he was so happy for them. He's going to be nervous talking to him. He's having trouble, you know, he was trying to get the speech together and waking up in the middle of the night. Did I get everybody? And that's because that's the way he is. Well, it's going to be a special night, and we can't wait.
Thanks, Barry.
Okay, my friend. Thank you.
Middleton breaks it up, comes off the boards with it, gives it to Peterson. Shoots, scores! Another assist for Rick Middleton as he set up Barry Peterson for a quick wrist shot. The remarkable Rick Middleton. What stick handling.